It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share a common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Hi there. How you? Welcome to the program. We have a lot to share today. We better get cracking.
I'm ready.
I'm not talking about cracking the, what are they, got to crack the natural gas or what was it we were talking about?
We were talking about fracking and cracking and roller coasters.
Okay. Well, fracking is when you get the oil out of the ground.
Yeah.
Cracking is when they break the gas into its component parts to make plastics. And cracking with a K was the roller coaster.
Right.
Tied into the whole Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, then you started talking about Clash of Titans and I got lost.
Yeah, pop culture. It's a new movie out. Well, actually, it's the sequel's coming out, Wrath of the Titans. So speaking of Titans, let's talk about what happened on Wall Street.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
It makes it sound like we know what we're doing.
Does it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Go get them, Scott.
Thursday's market was a crazy market. The Dow finished up 20, but at one point it was down almost 100 points. The low on the Dow was 13,032, closed at 13,146. So that's a 110-point move between midday and the close. It basically closed right at the high. So it was a pretty wacky day. NASDAQ, a little bit of a rougher day, down 9. S&P virtually flat, down 2. Gold, nothing move at $1.07 up. Oil down $2. That's a pretty decent move.
That's surprising. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah, there's a lot of concern about global slowdown.
I was going to say, I think it's the economies that are perceived to be slowing down. And
yeah, between China and Spain, there's a lot of concern about global slowdown.
Spain just seems to be, I would not want, I mean, I love the cultures and the richness of these, Italy and Spain, and I've never been to Spain, and I would love to go someday, but man, they've got their hands full.
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit more specifics on that in a couple minutes here. Tens all the way down to 216, so we really have seen a really remarkable move up and back down really quickly on 10-year yields.
Do you think that's influencing some of what we're seeing in the market, or is just such a mixed bag here?
I think it's such a mixed bag, yeah. But I think the market really wants tens to be at about 210, 215 or something like that. So that spike up in interest yields, it's kind of a little bit hard to say exactly. That could have been some trader activity or something like that. It was up so fast and back down so fast, it looks like trader activity to me.
I'll take your word for that.
All right. And also on Thursday's market, rough day for telecoms. A lot of telecoms, AT&T and Verizon, had ratings cut to neutral and sometimes even worse. So tough on those guys. That's really it as far as immediate market stories. Looking ahead to the market on Friday, Chicago PMI and consumer sentiment. So we'll get some idea what's going on there. Interesting story today on Best Buy. You may recall at the end of last year, one of the things we were saying would be the theme for 2012 was the death of the big box store. Well, we're really starting to see that in spades. There's not many of them left. There's Best Buy, maybe Barnes & Noble as far as big box specialty stores. For whatever reason, Best Buy ends their quarter on March 3rd. Their fourth quarter ended on March 3rd.
Why?
I don't know. It's silly.
They're publicly traded. Why would they do that?
I don't know, but they did it. And they did not announce good things at all. They're going to close 50 stores. Ooh. They're going to lay off about 400 people. They're basically going to change their entire model. They're going to try to change their stores to being much more service and repair oriented. They're going to have these big service
hubs.
Okay,
now that makes sense because, you know, getting service on stuff, what in the world do you do?
Yeah, no, it's a good idea there. And they're also going to start a lot of what they call connected stores, which are going to be more like kiosks, you know, in the malls and stuff like that.
Have stuff inside them that are related to the...
Yeah, so they really are being forced to change their...
So they've got shelf space. They've got a lot of... They need to rent the space.
Yeah.
These stores are what, 100,000 square feet?
Yeah, they have big problems. I mean, between Amazon, people ordering things from Amazon, and then even things like Apple stores had a huge impact on Best Buy because you didn't have to go to Best Buy to get an Apple product. You just went straight to Apple.
Well, this past Christmas, I went with my wife shopping on, you know, the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that.
Well, I tell you why. I'm going for Husband of the Year.
Oh,
yeah? Yeah, that got me I apply every year and it doesn't happen. But you know, it definitely got me at least what do they call it when you're...
honorable mention?
Yeah, nominated. Grammy nominated.
Participant?
David's acting performance, Grammy nominated. But anyway, so we're in one of the stores and we're checking a price. I said, yeah, I don't know if that's a good price. It seems kind of high. I said, hold on. I hit the Amazon button on my iPhone and I'm checking the price right there. So I could literally buy it standing in Target from Amazon.
Yeah, you can almost commoditize anything at that rate.
Yeah.
So that's the big news on Best Buy. A couple of fairly important economic reports. The jobless claims came out on Thursday, as it always does. Not such a great number. Initial claims fell by 5,000 to a seasonally adjusted 359,000. Depending on who you listen to, the one that I pay attention to is the Reuters analyst expectation was 350. So that was higher than not as good as expected. Let's put it that way. So not such great news there. Also, the GDP, the final look at the GDP came out. You know, this is the GDP from the fourth quarter.
Is that your final answer?
This is the final answer. They give us, in January, they give us, this is what we think it might be. And then in February, they say, we're pretty sure this is what it is. And then in March, they come out and they say, this is what it was. And so for 2011 calendar year, inflation adjusted annual rate 1.7%, fourth quarter rate 3.0% as expected.
But that's inflation adjusted.
Yes.
What kind of raw inflation did we have last year? You know? I can go back and look. A couple percent, isn't it?
I think a point and a half. This says 3.2%.
Okay, well, there you go. 1.7, yes. 1.5. Yeah. So we've got overall, a little over 3% GDP is not bad. A lot of these European countries would be glad. So you think Spain would take 3%?
Well, speaking of Spain, their expectation for GDP is a shrinkage of 0.7%.
0.7. Okay, so now, just under 1%.
But a lot of analysts come out and they say, that's not even going to be
so they might
close,
see
folks.
A shrinkage of 1, 2, or
1,
even
3%. Yeah,
so we
sure.
should not complain about a 3% GDP for 2011.
Yeah, but it's just like the jobs number. It's the right direction, but it's slow.
Now, hold on, Scott. I'm going to get to this, and let's take a quick break, Lisa. When we come back, I want to share this with you because I can't wait to get your opinion. There is a Fed study that says that unemployment might drop by 6% middle of 2013.
Oh, please.
We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Actually, it's time for a taunting. That's what it's time for. I'm going to taunt Scott. I'm sitting far enough away from him. I don't think his arms are long enough to get to me. So, all right, Scott, listen to this. Because Scott's not a happy camper about the unemployment numbers.
It's so slow.
And he thinks it's going to take a long time to get the number down meaningfully or in a significant way. Unemployment may drop 6% by mid-2013, New York Fed study finds. And this is a Bloomberg article I'm quoting, Scott. So they say the jobless rate in the U.S. could drop to as low as 6% by the first half of 2013, according to research from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
Uh-huh.
You don't believe it?
No, I don't believe it. It's ridiculous.
Well, why would they print that?
Because it's speculation.
So it's easy to say.
Yeah, we'll be lucky if we get to 6% by 2020.
Because
at the rate we're creating jobs.
We've got to add, 500, 600? You need to be over 500,000 to make a meaningful dent in unemployment, right?
To get to that figure, we'd have to do about 500,000 new jobs a month.
Well,
I mean, unless, but you know how I feel about that number. Unless people who don't have a job just decide that they're not ever going to look for a job again, the participation rate stays so low, right? Or maybe they could go back to a different census number. You know,
right. They
changed the census number on us last time. Maybe they could go back to the 1950 census number and say, look, we have more people actually working than exist.
Well, it's kind of like the old story about asking a CPA, you know, what 2 + 2 is. You know, what do you want it to be?
Yeah, that's outrageous.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. So careful what you read and what you believe. There is a lot of work to be done. Here's a more accurate thing. The Fed policymakers predicted unemployment of 7.5 to 8.1 by the end of the fourth quarter of 2013. I can see it getting to 8.1 or even just under 8 by the end of 2013, but 6%. So, ladies and gentlemen, be careful what you read and what you believe, because there's a lot of work still to be done on this economy.
Yeah, 6% is not on the near-term horizon at all. Spain announces a new budget on Friday. That's big news. It's going to be an interesting one. The People's Party elected their prime minister at the last election. They had a bunch of regional elections this past Monday, and he did not get the support he needs. So
he doesn't have the mandate. He doesn't have the referendum or the you know, it's like a president being elected with, you know, 70% of the voting, pretty much can ask for anything.
Yeah, he doesn't have it. So this budget, which is quote very, very austere, is going to be met with a lot of unhappy Spanish people. There's no question about it. They were, a lot of the unions were on strike today already protesting the austerity that hasn't even been proposed yet. So there's a lot. We'll be talking about Spain for almost all summer.
But the problem is they're just too big to the IMF cannot bail them out.
Yeah, and Italy's doing a good job. I mean, if you look at Italy, they have similar problems, not as deep, but they are doing the right things politically and procedurally to get things, at least to stop the bleeding. Spain is not. I mean, they're shrinking. They're not cutting expenses anywhere near as quickly as they have to. And unfortunately for them, which they really can't control, their interest rates are going up quickly.
Well, because of the perception by the investment community that they're higher risk.
Yeah, so it's like any other time you have debt. If one of your big expenses is interest payments and your interest rate goes up, it just makes every single problem worse, and that's the spiral they're in right now.
I do not envy that. That's a difficult situation.
Yep, so we'll see about that. I told you earlier this week about the IPO market has really been heating up. Remember the
Bunny Macaroni.
The Bunny Macaroni we talked about earlier. Two hot IPOs on Thursday. Really, a lot of IPO activity, which is encouraging. Shows interest in the market. But Cafe Press, which is a sort of an...
Oh, yeah. I'm very familiar with them. Yeah.
Okay. You can get a t-shirt that says anything.
Yeah, I do. I have.
So they IPO'd today. Range was 16 to 18. They did the IPO pricing at 19, and then they traded on the market today at about 21.50. So that's about a 10% rise for them. Mobile ad company Millennial Media, which does all the ads in like the Zynga games, and anytime you're on your phone and an ad pops up, it's them. A lot of interest for them. They priced at 13 and traded on the market at 25.
That's kind of a partner trade, like you call it a pairing trade, partner trade.
Yeah, pair trade,
you know, because you got these other apps that are out there and there's piggyback in it and somebody's got to provide that technology.
Yeah.
The Cafe Press, you know, I don't order as much as I used to, but I did get some shirts there for a while. And actually, my wife and I went to a conference and I got a shirt for it and it was fun. So
yeah, they have good stuff there. Where else can you get a little Walter t-shirt?
Yeah.
And then finally, we have talked in the past about how consumer credit is on the rise, but if you break down the number, it's not so much credit card spending. It's things like student loans and car loans was where most of that consumer credit increase was coming from. Well, an article today in smartmoney.com says loans are on the increase sharply for kindergarten.
You're kidding me.
Well, I mean, you know, if you think about it, if you have a kid that you want to get in college, you have basically 18 years to prepare for them. But if you just turn up pregnant, you only have a couple of years to get ready for kindergarten. So, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's harder to get ready for kindergarten than it is for college in a lot of ways.
Holy smokes!
You want to hear more about this? You're rolling your eyes.
They hurt now. That hurt. I did whiplash eye roll.
Average loan size given by the leader in this field is called Your Tuition Solution is $14,000. They give you anywhere from 3 to 7 years to pay it back. But, you know, if you live in the city...
Okay, so this is for paying for private school and you don't have the money.
Right.
And you want your kid to go to the best kindergarten class
That's right.
or whatever.
They say most of these people who receive these loans are in the $150,000 and up income bracket, but for whatever reason, they just, you know, they're either...
They don't have a chance to put the cash away.
That's right. So they're taking out loans all the way up through the end of high school. Some of these companies defer it through the end of boarding school, and then you get another college loan on top of that, and then 4 years later, now you've got the college loan due and, you know, 12 years of private school.
I'm just shaking my head, ladies and gentlemen. I know you can't see that, but that's amazing.
And demand is up 10% over last year, so very much a growing business.
Well, there's some that argue that we have a caste system in the United States, and that, you know, based on where you start and really has a big impact on where you're going to end up. And stories like that, I think, definitely support that argument.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but, you know, what really would be a great solution is if we continued to have a really strong public education system like the one I was able to benefit from.
You're listening to me, folks. I'm a pure product of the public education system, high school, junior high, elementary school, and of course college.
Yep. So there you go. That's all the news that I have for Thursday.
All right.
Market.
Well, I have more, and I'm going to ask you to stick around, and you, ladies and gentlemen, you stick around. We come back. I've got some very interesting things I'm going to throw at Scott and see what he has to say about it. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, we're back. And I asked Scott to stay after school. Get it? Playing off the discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And I got to ask you, because I know you're a Starbucks fan.
Aren't you? I get free coffee in the break room.
That's it. Well, no, Melissa makes that, and you got to pay for it, I'm sure.
Some way or another.
Okay,
some way or another.
But we've talked about Starbucks where they're in trouble with the vegans.
Yes.
Who say, you know, because Starbucks is trying to go all natural, and they're putting beetle coloring in their coffee.
A beetle is natural.
Well, not some people might be allergic, and so they're upset about that. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. But listen to this. CEOs, a recent study, let's see what we got here. Group of CEOs, Business Roundtable. Group is an association of leaders of the 200 biggest U.S. companies, Scott.
Yep.
And a growing number of the chief executives at these companies are much more optimistic about the economy and step up hiring, with 42% of them expect to hire in the next 6 months.
Yeah, but they did also, I happened to read part of that story as well. They also said that they expect their pace of hiring to be modest, and more modest than sales growth.
So they're trying to squeeze all they can out of the...
Yeah.
Well, that's why these guys are paid the big bucks. So USA Today had a report out. Top paid executive CEOs for 2011. Can you guess Scott Connor, the Oracle of Ormond? That's what Kevin calls you over at WROD.
With his tongue firmly implanted in cheek, I'm sure.
He likes you.
Uh-huh.
All right. So who was the highest... What company? I don't expect you to know the name because I don't know half these guys'
highest
names.
Highest paid CEO?
Yeah, what company?
I'm going to say it's Boeing.
Boeing's on the list. He's down. He only made $18 million last year. I'm sorry.
Is it Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan?
J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan did not make the list.
Ooh, Jamie.
Sorry, man. Well, here's who I won't leave our people in suspense. Viacom. Felipe Dahmen.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that ever.
It's close to Dahmen, but it's Dahmen. Anyway, he raked in $43 million, which, ready for this, was a 49% drop from previous year.
Oof.
So that's why he makes the big bucks, because these guys are hiring modestly. We don't want to get in too big of a hurry because we need to squeeze out that sales growth. So, hey, speaking of big numbers, I've been saving this. I've been dying to do this one. Ready for this one? All right. This is Scott Quiz Day. USGovernmentSpending.com, good website, talking about debt. All right?
Yeah.
All right, big numbers, talking about the Spaniards having trouble.
Right.
Of course, we all know about the United States. We're deep in debt, and it's getting worse every year.
Yep.
We have trillions of debt, trillions with a T. And so what year did our debt first go over $1 trillion? What year would you guess?
It was not that long ago. I'm going to say 93.
Pretty good guess. Back in...
Lisa says 92.
92? Oh, she's saying 2 minutes. What do you think, Lisa? You can just tell me. What year do you think? What year do you think the debt went over $1 trillion for the United States? Scott says 93. It's actually sooner than that, a little earlier than that. 88, Lisa says. All right, you're close. It's 1978, toward the end of the 70s decade. Now, so it's a little over $1 trillion in debt. Now, watch this. $1 trillion, then you go to $2 trillion is 1984. Again, it's the same thing you talk about, the Spanish. You're paying the interest.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you go 1990, it's $4 million. It doubled again.
Yep. Now we see the power of compounding.
Here we go. Now we'll see power of compounding. Go another few years and you go from $4 trillion up to, by year 2000, it's $7 trillion. And then it's $10 trillion in 2006. Woo, we're making money. We're making money right now. So anyway, and right now, of course, it's in that $15.5 trillion. And during the time of our show, our debt has increased by $60 million.
Yep, I believe
it. So get out there and vote for your congressman. It could be worse. It could be a bazillion dollars.
It could.
A bazillion dollars. Of course, Ellen Edmonds, our vice president of marketing, reminded me of a bazillion dollars. So I was like, what is that? She uses this all the time, very appropriately so, referring to a lot of the work that we're doing, bazillions of dollars being applied. But a bazillion is, let's see, what's the sentiment? It's a really big number. It's not. It's a fictitious number.
It's a nonsense thing.
Nonsense thing. Bajillion, gazillion, jillion, kajillion, squillion, kabillion, gugaillion, upteen million, zillion are all synonyms.
Well, we'll get there at one. We'll get there at debt one of these days.
And I'm hoping that we always are dealing with trillions and not any other number. And of course, after a trillion, you get to what's after that?
Quadrillion.
Quadrillion. Very good.
We'll get there.
I hope not. The only excuse we have for getting to a quadrillion is if we are the United States of the intergalactic community. And Lisa asked me the other day if you think we'll ever see a trillionaire.
Oh, certainly.
Right now, the highest guy is the Mexican.
Yeah, Carlos Slim.
He's the, there's slim competition for his Mexican phone company because
right.
He's it.
That's right.
If you place a call, you're using his number, right?
That's right.
All calls go to the same phone. But he's at about 70 billion, roughly.
Yeah.
And I told Lisa, we were talking about it after the other show the other day. I said, the only way we can get somebody who's worth, quote unquote, trillion is you'd have to be dealing with, you know, literally exploration in the solar system. Somebody's got like, you know, a whole planet or something, or some sort of intergalactic commerce.
Or if there's massive inflation.
Well, that's true, because you know, in Zimbabwe, they've had
everybody's a trillionaire.
Everybody's a trillionaire. Yeah. Well, there you go.
It could go that way.
It could. We're going to take a quick break with this exciting financial discussion and be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
And we're back. I hope you've enjoyed our show today. I've got one more segment, but you know, I kind of got off on a little bit of fun stuff, and I hope you appreciate that or allow me to indulge. Here's something I'm looking at in the paper, News Journal. Looks like Ruby Rainwater is about to indulge in a huge chocolate cake for her 100th birthday. So happy birthday, Ruby Rainwater. It's a neat name. She turned 100 on March 8th. So, there you have it. All you have to do is look around and people are turning 100. You know, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, the normal life expectancy for people, most people, you know, 70-ish was considered, you know, kind of, you know, it, if you will. And people are living to 100. People are climbing mountains at 70. People are doing all kinds of stuff. And you look at them and go, you don't look 70 to me. You know, you got the body of a 30-year-old. So it's really remarkable. And so with that, well, you know what's coming, right? Planning. Plan. But also with that longevity, it's not just saying, how do I make sure I've got enough money to retire and stay retired and keep up with inflation, which is coming back, make no mistake. Okay, that's why when Scott and I talked earlier about those GDP numbers, what the actual total goods and services produced by the United States in 2011 ended up being a little over 3%. And we looked at what inflation was as part of that, because inflation is just part of the number. But it's not just that in preparing for retirement and having enough income. It's also preparing for, guess what, with people living longer, it's preparing for family caregiving. And this is really going to be a huge issue. USA Today had an article that I thought was a great article. You know, I'm a bit critical at times of some of the papers, but at the same time, some of them do a very good job of what they produce. And so article really hit the point home about needing to help or planning to help and being prepared to help. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm going to work until I fall over. Well, that's fine. But what if your situation changes where you can't work physically? Or what if a loved one needs help? What if your mom or your dad needs help and you've got to change your, you got to change, or you got to retire earlier? You got to do something different. There's a lot of stuff to factor in. More than 42 million Americans provide family caregiving for an adult who needs help with some of those daily activities that we take for granted. And another 60 million provided some care during the year. That's 100 million people are providing full-time or partial care. Hey, there's only 310 million of us in the country. So this is a very common thing. Now, a couple things that really stood out to me that I wanted to talk about is you got to be prepared. Make sure mom and dad have that power of attorney. Make sure they've got that healthcare surrogate. Basically, you need to make sure you've got the authority to act if they can't and that they don't know what they're doing or there's problems. Please, you know, I talk about this all the time with people. You need to look at long-term care insurance, not as something that you say, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. I think I'd rather spend that money. You know, depending on when you buy it, it might cost you $1,000 a year in premium. It might cost you $3,000 or $4,000 a year in premium. But you know what you need to look at it as, especially when you get close to Medicare age and you get to not have to pay for health insurance if you're working or you've had employment coverage through a business or you've been the business owner and you've paid for it. Oh boy, you really got to look at long-term care insurance just as important as regular health insurance, because the cost, I want you to think about this for your situation. What if you or your spouse or your significant other had to go into an assisted living facility or because you weren't able to get the help you needed at home? I mean, yeah, we all like to stay at home and get home health care, or you need to go into an actual facility. Where are you going to come up with the money? Well, you say, well, I don't have to worry about it. The government's going to take care of me. I paid my taxes. I did this. I did that. It'll be my turn to get my share of social benefits. And I get that thinking, but you have to spend down what you got. You have to go broke basically for them to do that. And then you don't have a lot, as your choices are going to be limited. So I think it's something to be real careful about. I think the thing I want you to know and to keep in your mind is make sure that you've got your estate planning in order. You've got your healthcare power of attorney so people can make healthcare decisions when you can't. You've got your financial power of attorney so that they can make financial decisions when you can't. They know what to do if you're ill and you aren't recovering, that advanced directive, those end-of-life decisions, the living will, so to speak, and make sure that you've got a plan to deal with this. So I want you to have that on your mind, because people, you know, I was having this conversation with a client recently, and we talked about the reality of the cost of Medicare, our social health insurance, so to speak. When you're working, you're prepaying that, because you know when you retire, a lot of what you get from Medicare, quote unquote, is free. It's not free. You've paid for it in advance. But when you do, you have to pay for that. A, you've already paid for it. B, you have to pay for it, which is the physician part. And it's going to go up. And so you can't count on Social Security increases, because you may have to use a lot of your Social Security increase to pay for the Part B premium. So just keep that in mind as you think about your future and what you're doing and how you're going to plan your retirement. Okay, we're out of time. Come back next time. Thanks.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.